There's a valid reason why more and more people are becoming disillusioned with the mainstream media. It's the same reason more and more people are turning to American Family News. They're tired of all the fluff and propaganda, and they're looking for a news source they can trust. Whether it's politics, world events, or events here at home, you know it's accurate news on current events from an evangelical Christian perspective. American Family News, on the air and on demand at AFN.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Thursday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here, and I hope that you're having a good morning. All of us are heartsick about what happened yesterday in Georgia at that high school in Georgia as a 14-year-old high school student opened fire, killed two students and two educators, two math teachers. I read where a number of others were injured in this. And the thing that is probably very disturbing to really all of us is that the FBI was aware of this kid, and they supposedly had investigated him and didn't do anything about it other than the investigation, and then he commits this terrible, horrible crime. And it, your heart just hurts for the parents in this situation. Really makes it difficult for parents that have their kids in public school, in any school, but public school especially, that, is my child safe? And they send their kids off to school and they kiss them goodbye in the morning. And we really need to pray over our kids. And in this situation, there are no words. You just, you hurt for these families and you weep with those who weep. And you pray for God to pour out his comfort and grace. And what can you do? Is the answer, as we have from those on the left, well, this just proves that you need to take away guns. It doesn't prove that at all. It proves that you need to enforce the laws that you have concerning guns. And but here's the bottom line. You know, bad actors are going to find a way to hurt people. The old expression, hurting people hurt people, that's really true. And when people are mentally unstable, and whether that's being fed and fostered somehow through friends or through some kind of an evil mentor, we don't know, but bad actors are going to do bad things. I was thinking about how, you know, the American Constitution was set up, and one of the founding fathers, John Adams, made this statement, and I thought it was it's worth revisiting and reminding ourselves how this American experiment was set up, if we use that terminology, the American experiment. He said this: our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Morality and virtue are the foundation of our republic and necessary for society to be free. As we have had Bill Federer on the program, historian Bill Federer, he said, you know, you have to have a sense, and the founding fathers knew this, you have to have a sense of the fear of the Lord. And you have to have a self-governance, so to speak, that, hey, I'm not going to just blatantly, overtly break God's commandments. And so commandment number 6, you shall not murder. Commandment number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Commandment number 8, you shall not steal. Commandment number 9, you're not going to bear false witness against your neighbor. Commandment number 10, you're not going to covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's spouse, anything that belongs to your neighbor. That's how the Constitution was set up. It was for a moral and religious people who desire to be honest, who desire to be a person of integrity and morality. It's not set up for a bunch of hoodlums and a bunch of people that want to, murder and rape and pillage and destroy and all that. It's not designed for that. And how do you set up a government for that? Well, you just have more and more and more police and more law enforcement, and you enforce the laws very quickly. So in China, I was in China a few years ago, and the missionary we were working with in China, she said, you know, you don't have a lot of crime here in China because if you commit a crime, they will arrest you within a few days. Even if it's the wrong person, they're going to find somebody to arrest. And for instance, if you committed the heinous crime of rape, well, they would find somebody to arrest and they would execute them within a very short period of time, a week or so. And it sends a message to everyone else. Hey, you do this and there is swift punishment. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. And in America, we have the sentence against an evil deed that's not executed quickly. It takes a long, long, long time. We have guys that have been on death row for years, and, you know, in some states there is no death penalty. What does God say about the death penalty? He does weigh in on that. Genesis chapter 9, when Noah got off the ark, the Lord says, whoever sheds man's blood, this is Genesis 9:6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. God is for capital punishment for capital crimes. And, you know, one of the things that we read in the Old Testament as God set up his nation, there are consequences for disobedience to the laws of God. And the Jews were to purge the evil from their midst. Now, the fear of the Lord, getting back to the John Adams quote, we set up the Constitution, he said, for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to govern anybody else. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. To understand that God is God and you're not God and you have a responsibility to God, you give him his rightful place as king and you take your rightful place as doulos, as slave. And that is the beginning of everything. But what do you do in a society where there is no fear of God? That's the society we live in today in America. There's no fear of God. And people do whatever they want. Everyone does, as it says in the book of Judges, there was no king in Israel in those days. Each man did what was right in his own eyes. And if it's right in my eyes to steal your stuff, if it's right in my eyes to murder you, if you make me angry, if it's right in my eyes to beat you to a pulp, if you don't use my preferred pronouns, that's the world in which we live in today. And it's very, very difficult in this upside down world. Isaiah 5 verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It's an upside down world. And we know just based on current history that we have a two-tiered justice system. We punish law-abiding citizens, so to speak, and we defend the criminals. Victims have become the perpetrators in this upside down world. It doesn't make any sense at all. So how are we to live in this world? Well, we're to remember that our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember that we are strangers in a strange land, and we are here to witness for the Lord. We're here to make a difference. And so we talk about, you know, we are in another kingdom. As Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And so our kingdom is not of this world because our kingdom is with Jesus, and we are citizens of his kingdom, citizens of heaven. But we live here. as my friend Bishop E.W. Jackson says, you know, I live in America just like I live in my house, and I want my house to be a certain way. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, that's where he lived, in his house. Well, we live in our communities, we live in our cities, we live in our region of the country, we live in our nation. And so we want our nation to be a livable place. We want it to be a place where, you know, right is right and wrong is wrong. We don't want it to be an upside down place. We don't want to send our kids off to school and wonder if they're going to get shot by a classmate. It's a terrible situation that we find ourselves in as far as looking at it just horizontally. But we know that God is in control of all things. We know that bad things do happen. And we know that when things happen to us, happen to people that we know and love, we grieve, we hurt, we cry, we ask why. Most of the time, God doesn't answer our why. I heard in a sermon years ago at the funeral of a young child who only lived a number of hours before he died, and we grieved with the mom and dad who were in our Sunday school class, and I believe it was Dick Hill who was doing the service, my good friend who's in heaven now, and he said, God's not in the business of explaining, he's in the business of sustaining. We ask that question, why, and the Lord doesn't normally answer that, but he does say, my child, you can trust me. You can trust me. And so we know that nothing comes into our lives that doesn't first filter through God's fingers of love. And the things that came at Joseph in the Old Testament were terrible things. The things that came upon Job were terrible things. And the Lord didn't cause that, but the Lord allowed that. And those things filtered through God's fingers of love, and God used those for a purpose. So remember that when you encounter things that don't make sense, remember that God is still in charge, he's still in control, and you can still trust him, even through tears, you can trust him, and the Lord will. Three things every Christian needs to have so locked down, so solid in their lives. God is good. 2 Chronicles 7:3, truly he is good. Truly his loving kindness is everlasting. God is good. God loves me. And Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So when I know that God is good, God is not good some of the time, God is not good most of the time, God is good all of the time. That's who God is. He is a good God. And God, this good God, loves me. He doesn't just love humanity. He loves me. For God so loved the world. The world is big. But when you start pinpointing it, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says, for I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. It was personal. The Lord personally died for you on the cross. He personally loves you. He knows everything about you. He knows all of your ways. He knows all of your weaknesses and your propensities towards sin. He knows everything, and he loves you still. God is good. Truly he is good. Truly his loving kindness is everlasting. He loves us with an everlasting love. His love is proven to you and to me on the cross. As the old saying goes, I asked Jesus how much he loved me, and he stretched out his arms and died. This much. And so we can trust the God who's good. We can trust the God who loves us. And we can have hope that in every tragedy in life, God is working those things together for good. And we may not understand it this side of heaven, but when we get there, we're going to be able to say to the Lord, Lord, I see it now from your perspective. You do all things well. You did it perfectly right. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here. I wanted to ask you a question. How well do you do with warnings? Some of you may remember the old show Lost in Space. They've redone it, and it's pretty cool, the remake. I think I watched one season of that, and some of the others I didn't get into. But as a kid growing up, the old 60s Lost in Space was one of my favorite shows. I wasn't too far removed from the boy in the show, Will Robinson, as far as age goes. And I just thought he had the coolest gig. He had a great dad and a great family, and then he had this robot. The robot was so cool. And you remember, the robot was kind of his personal protector, and when something would happen, the robot would say, danger, danger, warning, Will Robinson. Warning, Will Robinson. And he would move his arms up and down. That was his way of trying to get people's attention that there was danger, and he was trying to warn them of danger. Well, I've been doing a sermon series on Wednesday nights at First Baptist Texarkana on the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews is known for a couple things. Number one, we don't know who the author was. Lots of people have speculated, well, it was Paul, or whether it was Silas, or it was Luke. My friend David Allen, who's written an extensive commentary on the book of Hebrews, he makes the case for Luke, the beloved physician. But we don't know for sure who it was. Some say Apollos. So the writer of Hebrews, big question mark. But one of the marks in Hebrews that really is unique to the book is this warning that we come across 5 different times in the book of Hebrews. There are 4 warning passages warning us with our relationship to the Lord. And the first one is in chapter 2. And they kind of increase in intensity, these warning passages. So the writer of Hebrews is giving us all this information that, you know, God used to speak through prophets, but in these last days, he's spoken to us through his Son. And his Son is far greater than any prophet. His Son is far greater than any angel, which would have blown the Jews away, because it's like, well, angels are really, they're really special. I mean, you have God, and then underneath God, you have his holy angels. And the Bible says that angels were involved in mediating the law. And so for a Jew, I mean, the law of Moses is the be-all, end-all, you know, an Old Testament Jew. And that was difficult for them to break away from all these sacrifices that they did and all the ceremonial laws and the religious laws that they had, the dietary laws. It was tough for them to break away from that and to embrace the new covenant. And the law, as I shared last night at church, you know, the law was just given as it's our tutor to lead us to Christ. The law doesn't save anybody. The law is just there to condemn. The law is a mirror. And you look in the mirror and it reveals what you look like. And if you have dirt all over your face, the law shows it. The mirror shows it. And you can't wash your face with a mirror. You look in the mirror to see where the dirt is so that you can wash it off. And that's what the law is. God gave his Old Testament law to show us that we were sinners in need of a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. And he is the Lord, the Master, the King of a new covenant in his blood. And so the writer makes that case. And then he says this, for this reason, because Jesus is greater than any prophet, greater than the angels, for which of the angels did God the Father ever said, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Such a strong verse, Hebrews 1:8, of the deity of Christ, when God the Father says of the Son, you are God. And he says, for this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense. Hey, when you were under the old covenant, under the law, you knew that if you got outside of that, if you didn't do what God said, there were consequences to pay. So he said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hey, if the old covenant had consequences, what about the new covenant? The new covenant that is so much greater. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. When the apostles came and preached Jesus after his ascension, God gave them the power, one of the defining marks of an apostle. They had seen Jesus, their Lord and our Lord, and God gave them power to do signs and wonders and miracles. It was a foundational gift. It was to authenticate the message they were preaching. And that message is that there is salvation in Jesus through the blood he shed on the cross. And what he did for us when he died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. And so here's the warning. We have to pay much closer attention to this message, what we have heard, lest we drift away from it, lest we neglect so great a salvation. In these last days in which we live, and we see things in the news every single day that remind us that we're in the last days, as the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in his last letter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come, perilous times will come, dangerous times will come, because men are given over to sin. Men are lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied his power, and avoid such men as these. Well, we live in a world with that. And so we need to heed the warning in Hebrews and make sure that we don't neglect so great a salvation, that we don't lose the joy of our salvation, the power of our salvation, the presence of God, as we have been invited to his presence, into his very throne room of heaven. And as believers, you know, you and I, we are in danger of drifting away, of experiencing spiritual drift. Nobody's immune to that. The song by Robert Robinson from the 1700s, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." That's a danger for you, for me, for the Apostle Paul, for everyone. No Christian is immune to drifting away from the Lord. You probably had the experience of being at the beach and going into the ocean and playing around in the water and body surfing and all that, and you don't know that the current is moving you down the beach. And so we can lose sight of, okay, wait a minute, who stole all my stuff? It's not where it was, just right out there, and now, unbeknownst to you, you've moved quite a bit. You've drifted quite a bit. And we can drift in our relationship with the Lord, and we can drift away from God's amazing grace, from the wonder of it all, as the song says. There's the wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder of sunrise I see, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. And then the refrain, oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me, just to think that God loves me. Hey, be careful that you don't drift away from God's amazing grace, the wonder that he loves you, that he would send his son for you, that the king of the universe would die willingly for you so that he could purchase your soul, purchase your salvation, pay a debt that he didn't owe, a debt that you and I couldn't pay. When Jesus sent out the 70, they came back and he gave them power to cast out demons and to heal diseases. And they came back and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Wow, that I am a child of the King, and that God has redeemed me, and my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, don't drift away from that. And don't drift away as this warning comes to our hearts. Don't drift away from your daily time with God. I realize that life can get busy, and we can get distracted. We can so get like Martha, and we neglect to be like Mary. You know, Luke chapter 10, Mary and Martha, they were sisters, and they had Jesus over for dinner, and Martha was distracted with all her preparations. She wanted the meal to just be so wonderful for the Master. But Mary was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. Mary was worshiping and listening and spending time with Jesus. Martha was serving and trying to do for Jesus, but she missed out on the best part, the good part. As Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things matter, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let me encourage you to not get in the habit of shortchanging your time with God. You need that quiet time, that special time of unhurried time with the Lord, just to hear his word and to pray, to seek his face, to marinate in his presence. As the prophet Elijah found out, the Lord speaks in a still small voice. And if you're going to hear him, you have to get quiet. So how do we drift away? This warning, don't drift away. Pay closer, much closer attention to what we have heard so that you don't neglect so great a salvation that was purchased by the Lord's blood. Don't neglect your time with God. Don't neglect the wonder of it all, his amazing grace. And don't drift from the truths of the Word of God. Now, here's where we have culture come in. And culture tells us, well, you know, you got to get with the program, pal. You got to see what's going on. And, you know, we've evolved in our understanding of Scripture. And, you know, we're supposed to love our neighbor. And the way you love people is you use their preferred pronouns, as we've heard one in the Southern Baptist Convention say. Well, you know, if you really love people and they tell you that, you know, their pronouns are zim and zay or whatever, I mean, it's ridiculous stuff. You out of love, you acquiesce to that. No, you don't. You don't do that. That's just, you would be entering into their lie, into their fantasy, into their lunacy. You don't do that. They don't own pronouns. If you're XY, you're male. Your pronouns are he and him. Everybody knows that. And if you're XX, you're female, and your pronouns are she and her. Everybody knows that. And this idea that, well, we go along with the culture. No, you don't do that. If you go along with a culture in your relationship with God and in your understanding of the Word of God, you are off true north. And that's why we spend time with the Lord. That's why we come to church. That's a Bible-believing church where the pastor stands up and he says, "Thus says the Lord," and the congregation is reminded yet again of what is true north. Jesus said to his Father in John 17, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Set them apart in the truth. We live in a world of lies and liars, and the devil is the prince of the power of the air. And as it says in Romans 12:2, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't be conform to this world, New American Standard, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Hey, we have denominations that have drifted away from the truth. As I had a program some months ago with Tim Wildman, and I affectionately called Tim my favorite Methodist. And when the Methodist voted to go the way of the world, and the conservatives had to separate from the United Methodist Church. Well, the United Methodist Church has drifted away from Scripture. And so Tim was very blunt. And what I love about him, he just calls a spade a spade. He's very blunt. And he said, "Hey, if you're in the UMC, you got to get out. You can't be a part of that. God is not going to bless that place, because they've separated themselves and distanced themselves from true north, the true north of the Word of God." Hey, what is the warning? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, to what has been shared with us, the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And especially in these last days, we need to stand up and speak up for Jesus and for the truth of His Word. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, I would love to hear from you. And we do need to heed the warning from the writer of Hebrews. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about the warning, that very first warning in the book of Hebrews, five warning passages that should really get our attention. The first one is the warning that says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hey, when you know and you're confronted with the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember, Hebrews was written to Jews, and there were some believing Jews that were hearing this, and there were some Jews that were finding out more about Jesus. And once you know, and once you're confronted with the truth that Jesus is Israel's long-awaited Messiah, and you neglect that, you let that slip by, well, how are you going to escape? To quote a Beatles song, he's the last train to Clarksville. He is the ark, Noah's ark of safety. Judgment is coming from a holy God on a sin-filled, Christ-rejecting world. And the only way of escape is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will save anyone who will call upon him in repentance and faith. And so as Christians, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. We must know the gospel and align our lives with the gospel every single day because, as we said in that famous Robert Robinson song, we're all prone to wander. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And we come back to Scripture, which is our true north, every single day. And we align our lives with the truth of God's Word. And we hear the things going on in the culture. And we say, yes, but what does God say? Well, we're opening the phone lines for your questions and comments. And the number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. And we have Cheryl on the line from Texas. Cheryl, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead, Cheryl.
I'm a leader in my church. I'm a Christian. I believe that in the true north. But I do have a child, 40 years old, that is a transgender. And she doesn't live. She was born, she doesn't live, she lives in Illinois. I don't see her. I can't talk to her because if I say the wrong things, I will disconnect her from speaking with me. We only text because it's safer that way for me, but I do have to say him with her, and I have to address her by the name that she's going by now. Otherwise, she would have no one, and I'm her mother. What do I do?
Yeah. That's just heartbreaking. Cheryl, I'm so sorry about that. It puts you in a very difficult spot. I preached Sunday. I talked about the passage of Scripture where Jesus said, "He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And as Christians, we love our children. And I mean, just in a human sense, we love our kids. But here's the thing, you can't love your kid more than you love Jesus. You can't cave on the word of God because you love your child and you want to affirm them. We affirm our love for them. And Debbie and I have had this experience with one of our kids, and we affirm them in the fact that they're made in the image of God, and we love them, we'll always love them, and we'll always be there for them, but we're not going to affirm them in sin. And so what they're doing is wrong. And so we are not necessarily every time we get on the phone harping on that, but we're letting them know, hey, I love you, and because I love you, this breaks my heart. You're never going to find love, joy, and peace the way you're going. You're barking up the wrong tree. There is no love, joy, and peace in the tree that you have chosen and in the path that you have taken. So I think a key verse, Cheryl, to remember is 1 Corinthians 13:6. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. And, you know, American Family Association has the great a documentary that they put together called In His Image. And have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I will put it on my list to see.
Yes. Well, it's testimonies of people who went down the road of transgenderism. And one in particular, similar to your situation, it was a mother who had a daughter, and the daughter transitioned to be a male. and how that mother dealt with it, and how she prayed and prayed and prayed and had other ladies pray, and she let her child know, I love you, but I can't go along with what you're doing because I love you. If I didn't love you, I could pat you on the back and say, oh yeah, whatever you want to do, that's fine. But because I love you and because I know that this is going to lead to destruction, I can't rejoice in this. And so what I'm doing is praying for you. And that story had a great ending, but it didn't come about immediately. It took years. But that will encourage you. And so I just can recommend that wholeheartedly. That's a great encouraging and film, so In His Image, a documentary. But we'll be praying with you on that, Cheryl, too, that God would just give you wisdom, and so you hold to the truth as you love your child. It's like talking to somebody that's an unbeliever. We love them. We want them to come to Christ. That doesn't mean we water down the gospel so that we can somehow, lower the bar and get them in, because that doesn't work. But we hold up the truth, and we confirm our love for them. So God bless you, and thank you for calling in with that. And I know that's there's a phrase, and I think it's so true. There is no pain like family pain. And when our family, when there's something like that going on, we just hurt. And so we have to bring that to the Lord and cast our cares upon Him. So God bless you, Cheryl. Thank you for calling in with that. Well, we have Naomi on the line from Pennsylvania. Naomi, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, how are you, Jeff?
Good. Good to talk to you.
Yes, that's good. Yes, that wonderful, wonderful show. Wow, it's amazing. And so much to cover, about these issues that people prefer to hide themselves, especially born-again Christians, just because they don't want to hurt somebody's, no one feeling. But the other day, what I want to tell you is that I went to Bath and Body Works, and this young man, he came to me, to try to help me. And he was dressing as a girl, and makeup, you name it. Was very, very sad to see that young man, maybe in his 20s. So I told him, oh, thank you, Joe. I did that in purpose because I know that he was a boy.
Yeah.
So I told him, oh, thank you, young man, for helping me. So he said to me, oh, no, I prefer that you go by them. I don't like, that you call me, boy. And I say, oh, I cannot do that because Genesis 1:27, it says, so, that God created male and female in His own image. So therefore, I can invalidate the word of the Lord. You are a boy, and one day you're gonna be, and one day probably you can be a husband and a grandfather. But I cannot tell you that you are a girl when I know and I see it with my own eyes that you try to be a girl. Now let me ask you a question: you don't believe that, don't you? That you are a girl? And he looked at me and he said, "No, I don't believe that." And I say, you know why don't you believe that? Because when you see in your mirror yourself, you know deep inside of you that God made you a man. So therefore, I have to call you a man. And thank you for listening. So he say, no, thank you. And I say, I will pray for you. And I will ask the Lord to turn you from that wicked way so you can come to the Lord. And he say, thank you so much. And he take my hands.
Wow. Go ahead.
In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, verse 11 through 12, it's one of my favorites. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful to speak of those things which are done by them in secret.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ephesians says that in chapter 5, I have to do what it says.
That's exactly
and I have
right.
to do the same thing for my nephew and my niece, Karina, because she thinks she's a boy, and my nephew, Danielis, thinks he is a girl. And I told them, if you guys do not come in repentance to the Lord and ask forgiveness, because you invalidated his word and his law, if you do not ask forgiveness, he will cast you in the lake of fire. But if you turn from that wicked way, he forgive you and he receive you.
Amen. Great word, Naomi. I appreciate that so much. I appreciate your boldness. We need more people to do that and to just confront and say, hey, you know, you're not. You might think you are, but you're not, and you're being deceived. And, you know, I like the way that you called the person out and said, you know, when you really look in the mirror, what do you see? You don't see a woman. You see a confused male. And, you know, life is hard when you fight against God. Life goes so much better when you just yield to the Lord. And for those listening who might be struggling with this gender issue, just yield to the Lord the way He made you. It's not complicated. You are XY male or XX female, and you just say, all right, Lord, I'm struggling with this in my mind, but I'm going to yield. I'm going to go with what You said. You know, in mathematics, you might say, well, it doesn't sound right that 2 + 2 = 4, but it doesn't matter how you feel about it. 2 + 2 = 4. And you may feel that it should equal 5, but your feelings are wrong. And so you go by what is true and not by how you feel. So God bless you, Naomi. Thank you for that. We have Nancy on the line from Texas. Nancy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
I was listening yesterday, and I heard some of your callers call in and asking, you know, what can they do? What can they do? Mm-hmm. I recently got exposed to a pastor. He's the pastor of Mercy Seat Christian Church, Matthew Torella. Are you familiar with him?
I'm not.
Okay, it's mercyseat.net. I see that on the back of his book. He has a website called Defy, D-E-F-Y, Tyrants. plural.com, defytyrants.com, and he introduced a doctrine to me that I was not familiar with at all. It's called the Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates, and what this doctrine declares is that when superior or higher civil authority makes an unjust or immoral law or decree, the lesser or lower ranking civil authority has both the right and the duty to refuse obedience to that superior authority. Mm-hmm. And he also gives you answers to questions to show Americans how they can successfully resist the federal government's attempt to trample on our Constitution, assault our liberty, and impugn the law of God. And
that's good.
Again, the doc, pardon me?
I said that's good. So give us the website again.
Sure. Defy, D-E-F-Y, tyrants.com. And it was called The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. Very interesting. He's got like 3 books, and one of the books was really historical back in the 1500s that somebody has translated for us. But
yeah.
His book is The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. And,
okay. Well, we can check that out. And I appreciate you calling in with that, Nancy. God bless you for that. And I will check that out. Well, we have Shirley on the line from Tennessee. Shirley, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to encourage your parents to hang on and keep going along with Christ. My cousin had a son, well, has a son, and he was all over the place drinking, doing marijuana drugs, working in clubs, having first this baby by this woman, that baby by that woman. And she kept telling him, look, you're going to have to straighten your life out in Christ. When will you give your life to the Lord? And finally, after talking to him and talking to him and talking to him, and she would help him, she and her husband, when he needed help and couldn't pay his rent or something, you know, but they didn't stop talking about Jesus. Finally, he got into a fight, basically, with one of the girls because he was trying to stay with the girl, and she stabbed him, but it didn't kill him. And even that didn't stop him, though. But finally, he ended up going to jail. And, you know, the Lord has a way of turning people around. Sometimes
yeah.
The pigs have to wallow in the mud before they turn around. But don't stop preaching the word, because my cousin told him, I don't like you dating woman to woman to woman. You need to marry somebody and have all your kids by that one any more than if you were dating a man. I don't like it. It's not godly. And that stuff is not welcome here. You're not living with no woman under my roof. You're going to have your own roof. They ain't bringing no girls here. And it helped. So
yeah.
Keep talking to them.
Amen. Amen. Good word, Shirley. Yeah, we have to stand up for truth. And with our own families, you know, we don't just beat them over the head with truth, but we stand up for the truth. And we don't cave to the lies. That's one of the things about being a faithful witness. So thanks for listening. We're out of time, but thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. It's such a joy for me to get to share with you every morning here on American Family Radio. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking to Phil Cook, and Phil has a brand new book about churches and how to deal with scandal in the church. So you don't want to miss that. And go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.